In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, please be seated. So this past Tuesday, I and 8 of our incredible high schoolers and 2 other adults came back from New Orleans, Louisiana. You think it's been hot here? You have not had the heat. It was hot down there. And we were down in Slidell, Louisiana, which is on the north side of Lake Pontchartrain. We spent about a week down there on a pilgrimage. 8 high schoolers searching to understand the world a little bit more, seeking to understand themselves a little bit more, seeking to learn about God. And as part of that pilgrimage, which I was privileged to be part of, we ended up doing a service project at different homes. We ended up working on this gigantic crack. A crack that was maybe, I don't know, 2.5 inches across, located in the living room of a woman named Miss Wilma Delacoux. Miss Wilma's home is about 100 years old. It was built by her grandfather. Miss Wilma is in her 60s and she's struggling with dementia. She gets confused and ends up just kind of sitting and looking at the TV for minutes and even hours on end until she kind of comes back to herself and will strike up a conversation and tell you stories about her past and stories about her grandchildren. So we were sent to Miss Wilma's house to help fix it up. But I need to be honest with you. We quickly realized when we got to the house on Tuesday that we were not going to fix Miss Wilma's house. It's 100 years old. And it was damaged by Hurricane Katrina. It was still not fully repaired from that storm. And it had been infested by termites. Now, I know y'all don't like the winter, right? That cold. I will say that there is a blessing that comes with winter. It kills off the bugs for a little bit of the time. But that's not true in Louisiana. Down in Louisiana, they can't dig basements. They just put footings in the swampland and then build a house up above those footings. And as a result, what we discovered was a house where all of the support beams were totally eaten up by termites. You could push your finger into the boards that were holding up the house. And as a result, it meant that when you would walk in the house, it had this kind of spring quality to it. You'd take a step and it would give way a little under you and then spring back up. And you'd notice that when you were walking in the living room, other rooms would be moving at the same time. And we were told that we couldn't go into Miss Wilma's kitchen. We were told to be careful in the bedrooms where there were holes in the wall. What we were told to do while we were there is to fix that giant crack in her living room. A living room decorated with the art and with pictures of family members. A living room that had knickknacks and items that spoke of a life that had been well lived. And so our 8 youth started working. They started sealing that crack with special compounds, eventually using tape, laying new laminate floor down, drywalling, mudding, sanding, installing corner bead, floor leveling compound, removing rot from all around the house, fixing a sink that wasn't working anymore, repairing the pipe that was outside and was plugged where the sink just drained out into the backyard. They brought joy to an 8-year-old girl. They brought hope to Miss Wilma, and God worked in and through them, even though they knew there was no way that they were going to fix her house. That's an incredible thing, to keep working, to keep applying yourself, to learn new skills, even when you know that you are not going to get to the end of what needs to be done. That's an incredible thing because, let's be honest, it's easy for us to lose heart. I mean, haven't you had times when you confront things that are just so huge, so challenging, so painful, that you look at that situation and you don't even know where to begin? And so sometimes we just decide not to begin at all. It's easy to lose heart. Just ask Philip this morning in our gospel reading from St. John, right? Philip sees this massive crowd, 5,000 people. I mean, that's a decent number. It's not Fenway or anything, but it's a decent number of people gathered together, listening to Jesus and following Jesus. And here they are out in the countryside with no store nearby, no restaurant, and certainly no delivery service for food. And Jesus looks at Philip and says, "How are you going to feed them all?" Man, I don't know about you, but I'd be a little disturbed. I'd be a little overwhelmed. I'd be pretty convinced there's no good way to deal with this situation. And that's basically what Philip says. "Lord, even if we had all the money in the world, we couldn't feed these people. There's no good way out of this." And then something incredible happens. A young boy. He must have heard the conversation that was going on. And he reaches into his bag and he pulls out something utterly insignificant, kind of like corner bead in the midst of Miss Wilma's house. And he says, "I don't have enough for everybody, but I've got 5 loaves and I've got 2 fish. And I don't know what you're going to do with them, but here they are." And Jesus takes that offering. And somehow, in the goodness and the grace of God, abundance bursts forth. Everybody gathered is fed. And they aren't just fed, they are fed till they are satisfied. And they aren't just satisfied, there are 12 baskets left over of food. People have been fed by something so silly as giving 5 loaves and 2 fish. It was easy to lose heart, yet that youngster had faith in God, had faith in Jesus. You know, today, Paige and Elliot and their families and their loved ones will take a step of faith as they walk towards the waters of baptism, bringing before God these amazing children. Children who are blessed and who are loved and are gifted. And these families will commit these children to living a life of faith, a life of hope, a life of remembering the abundance of God and the power of God. Now, let's be honest. It can be hard to live that way in this world. There are plenty of challenges, plenty of difficulties, plenty of pain and darkness in this world that can try to choke out the belief that there is hope, that can try to choke out the belief that it really makes a difference that we do what is right and follow God. Yet these families have the audacity today to stand and to promise to do their best with God's help to let the full stature of Christ grow inside of Paige and grow inside of Elliot. And we will also stand, promising to support them, promising to do our best to help nurture these children. What a gift. What a gift for us to welcome and support Paige and Elliot. What a gift for us to make these promises and to hear these promises. What a gift for you and for me to remember that a life of faith means that we are on a journey of trusting Jesus. As a people of faith, we are called to trust, even when it doesn't make sense, even when we don't see how it's going to work out, even when it's hard and confusing and overwhelming. We walk this path because Jesus has called us and because he has been faithful in the past, and he will be faithful in the future. We walk this path because Jesus took 5 loaves and 2 fish and fed a multitude. We walk this path because Jesus took 10 completely unskilled youth and adults and brought some hope and some recovery to Miss Wilma's house. We walk this path because our God is a powerful, good, loving God. Now, I have a question for y'all. What does this mean for you? I know that I have been away for 2 weeks, And you all probably hope that I had forgotten that throughout the summer I was giving you homework each week. But I still remember, I listened to my sermons from a few weeks ago, and I remembered that I was giving homework. And so I have homework for you again. Following the sermon, these two incredible acolytes are going to stand up and bring you a passage of Scripture. And I'm going to read that passage to you right now. Here's what it says. I pray that you may be strengthened in your inner being with power through his Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, as you are being rooted and grounded in love. I pray that you may have the power to know the love of Christ, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. This is Paul's prayer for a church, that they would remember that God is good, that God is alive, and that there is hope in the midst of the darkness. So here's what I want you to do this week. Read this. Read it once a day, if you could. And then I want you to think about those places where things are overwhelming. You know, kind of like the figurative 5,000 people that you need to feed with 5 loaves and 2 fish. Or maybe it's a house that's been eaten by termites, right, that you have to repair with some drywall mud. Or maybe it's that relationship that's just fallen apart. Or maybe it's a health situation. I don't know what it is, but all of us have those places of darkness, places where we often feel overwhelmed and unsure how we could ever get through to the other side. Acknowledge those places. And then remember this prayer. You are not in the darkness alone. Christ is with you. Your family of faith is with you. May we remember this powerful goodness of God and not lose hope. Amen.